On a rainy night in early November, the Pace Society held its second annual Exotic Goddess Night, a sexpo for women staged at an upscale nightclub in downtown Vancouver. The sexpo showcased pole dancers, porn actresses, sex toy distributors, makeover artists, and airbrush tattooists in an evening dedicated to creating a sex-positive spirit among the women who attended. All proceeds from the event benefited the Pace Society. PACE stands for Prostitution, Alternatives, Counseling, and Education. Since 1994, the PACE Society has been providing frontline support, advocacy, health education, resources, and counseling to women working in the sex trade in Vancouver. PACE is run by as well as for sex workers and strives to provide opportunities for women exiting the sex trade who wish to take on leadership roles within the society. I attended the PACE Sexpo and spoke with some of the women involved about PACE, sex work, and feminism. Here's what they had to say.
So we're going to get started. Miss DJ, if you please.
If you're feeling sad and lonely, there's a service I can render. Tell the one who loves you only, I can be so warm and tender. Call me, don't be afraid, you can call me. Maybe it's late, but just call me. Tell me and I'll be around.
My name's Raven Bowen, former executive director of PACE Society. Currently working on research and policy development. This is my ninth year with PACE, and I got involved, I started accessing their services, and then I became a volunteer, and then worked my way up. We were the first organization to look at sex workers for assets and not deficits. So our first programming was actually outreach, so we were the first kind of foot outreach team to provide supply, support, education, resource, information to individuals that were actively working on the street. And then we expanded services to one-on-one support, case coordination, and then we moved later to develop some housing that unfortunately is not with us today. And so right now we do primarily education services like community education, but we work with sex workers to increase their capacity to then go out and do community education. Then we have a one-on-one support program, which also gives those support skills to sex workers so that they can provide supports to their networks. We developed a Hep C cookbook. We've also developed some community-based research guidelines to make sure that sex workers aren't exploited in research, and just a lot of like capacity building and a lot of opportunities for sex workers to increase their skills, make a little bit of money through our organization so they reduce their reliance on sex work, and then go out and do more class advocacy and political advocacy. We need to look at sex work through human rights and poverty filters, because sex work is a symptom of larger social issues. So it's poverty, it's the feminization of poverty, it's housing issues, it's the lack of access to education that'll get you a sustainable wage job. It's like those kinds of things. So for some people, working in sex work, and for others in survival sex, is the only option. And unfortunately, until we're able to provide other forms of employment for especially women, sex work is employment. So we just want to make sure that for those individuals that are involved in sex work, that it's not survival sex to where they're forced to be there and forced to take those dates because of lack of option or lack of ability to negotiate. That's what the law 213 does, is it criminalizes their ability to negotiate the prices and their safety and the location and the duration and everything that you need to do to have a business transaction. So we want to move people either from survival sex to areas of sex work where they have more control over their environments, or to areas outside of that. If they want to go back to school, if they want to, you know, find a job, it's all about kind of self-determination at that point. We don't want to create dependencies for women to come to PACE and stay at PACE. We want them to gain those skills and move on, or gain those skills and take over running the organization. Our first fundraiser was the Strip-a-thon, where we had dancers raising money, and it was the exotic embrace for PACE. And so this idea came out of that. Why not celebrate sexual freedom, sexual pleasure? Like, why is sex such a taboo, negative thing? So to have people here that are experiencing sex work where they control their environments, their porn stars, their dancers, their, you know, a lot of different individuals selling sex toys, selling shoes, all that stuff, there's a positive, joyous part of sexual life. And so we wanted to celebrate that, but also remember that there are women that are not in a celebratory space when they're exchanging sex, so for survival. So bottom line, a lot of women have a common experience of not being able to negotiate sexual encounters, sexual freedom. A lot of women have experienced the lack of opportunity to refuse sex work. Like, a lot of women have been forced into situations where they can't refuse it, whether they're married or whether they're on the street corner. So women share that common experience, and if we all look at it not as good girl, bad girl, and create that dichotomy, but look at it as these are women in a certain predicament, and so anything that, you know, any of us can do as women to stand up for women involved in sex work, to include them in the women's movement, and to advocate for human rights and choice. PACE right now administers the BC Coalition of Experiential Women, which I'm the coordinator of that, and we're a regional coalition of sex worker activists. And we're also, PACE is also members of the Network of Sex Work Projects. So that's an international piece. And so we try and make sure that through email and through whatever correspondences, we celebrate things. Like, we're this year we really want to celebrate December 17th, which is International Anti-Violence Day Against Sex Workers. And so we want to do things that are part of the international sort of movement. It's difficult because sometimes we get stuck in our day-to-day, but we have to look up from the ground and, you know, take these opportunities to think of this issue globally as well, because there are women all over the world that are selling sex and domestic labor to pay off foreign debts, so we can't forget those women. Contact us by our 1-800 number. It's 1-866-872-8751. Or email us at PACE, P-A-C-E, hyphen, admin, A-D-M-I-N, at telus.net.
Hello there. Hello there.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. I saw you sitting over there. I've been here for a while. You come in here often?
Sam, over here, would you,
Sam, yeah.
Bring me some champagne.
Yeah, anything the lady wants, Sam.
You know what to say.
Social service.
My name is Mistress Nicole. I am the co-owner of Cream Productions. We are a local Vancouver porn company, female-owned and run, and we are here supporting PACE with some of the sales from our movies tonight. We've just come out with our first production. It's called The Legend of Jizz Tank, Part 1. And Jizz Tank is the orgasm superhero. We're trying to redefine the money shot. She can ejaculate. It's female ejaculation. She can ejaculate onto her own face. And several times. I think we counted once 35 times in a row. So when cookies realized that she had this crazy talent, we sat there and we thought, well, how can we start a porn company? I had tried to start my own company, erotic massage oils, and it hadn't worked out because of lack of capital. And we thought, well, how are we going to have enough money to do this? And I said, oh, I'll whore myself. No, just joking. I do domination for a living, and erotic massage. And that is how we funded the company. We've invested a lot of money, and it is finally looking like, you know, we have our finished product. It's an amazing movie, if you ask me. You know, it's very Our slogan is our productions are raw, real, and hot. And it's definitely raw. I came to Pace's Sexpo last year. I had been doing domination at that point for 2 weeks. And I came out because a girlfriend of mine is on the board of directors. So we came out to, you know, give a shout out to her and show her some support. And so when it came around again this year, we thought, well, let's do a little promotions for Cream Productions. And we're donating some of our sales. And pretty much, I just love to support any type of charity that's supporting prostitution. When you look at all of the different schools of feminism, there are some that advocate for sex work, that say a choice a woman makes is her own choice. But in real life, that's very rare that people actually accept that. So when I look at it, I've grown up in an upper-class family. I'm university educated, and I've chosen to do sex work. To a lot of people, that is, they cannot accept that. They still think that I can't be choosing that because it's not possible for a woman to choose sex work. It's actually an extremely fulfilling job. It's very challenging. You meet men, because I deal mostly with men, that touch a part of your soul that is not touched by other people. And that is why I think that there needs to be charities out there who, A, say it is okay to choose to be a sex worker, B, help women who are forced into it, because I would be the first person to say it's not a good industry to be forced into. So it's, you know, it's a double-sided coin. It can give you so many rewards, but it can also be a very harsh thing to have to do because there's a lot of violence and there's very little protection for women who are forced into it. Sex work is one of the oldest jobs ever. Like, it is the oldest job, and it will never go away. So for people who think that they can eradicate it and they can create conditions that make women not want to be sex workers, it will not happen. What you have to do is give women the free choice and give them the ability to educate themselves about STDs, educate themselves about safe working environments, business plans, and networking, and anything we can think of, graphic design, like everything. And I think that is the future of sex work, where it is actually accepted, because it's not accepted now. Come on, is it worth it? Let me work it. I put my thing down, flip it and reverse it. It's your primitive, it's wet and yet. It's your primitive, it's wet and yet. If you got a big, let me search it. To find out how hard I gotta work, yeah. It's your primitive, it's wet and yet. It's your primitive, it's wet and yet. Boys, all type of boys. Black, white, Puerto Rican, Chinese boys. White, thang, thang, ya, toyo, thang, ya, thang. Black, thang, thang, ya, toyo, thang, ya, thang. Girls, get that cash. If it's 9 to 5 or shaking your ass. Ain't no shame, ladies, do your thing. Just make sure you ahead of the game. Is it worth it? Let me work it. I put my thing down, flip it and reverse it. It's your primitive, it's wet and yet. It's your primitive, it's wet and yet. If you got a big, let me search it. To find out how hard I gotta work, yeah. It's your primitive, it's wet and yet. It's your primitive, it's wet and yet. Come on.
My name is Trillium, and my girlfriend Trina is, I think, a board member of FACE, so she asked me to come down here and teach pole dancing. I'm a member of the Naked Truth website. It's an advocacy website for exotic dancers, just a place where we can come together and talk about it. There's customers and stuff on the website, but there's also sections that are closed to the public, which are dancers only or industry only. In the dancers only, there's a lot of gripes and bitches. Valid gripes and bitches, in my opinion. It's really complicated. The industry is going through a huge transition right now. Where it used to be sort of old burlesque style, where the girls were paid for their stage shows. And in my opinion, I believe that that's slowly being phased out into a system where the customer bears the cost of the entertainment, and it's VIP dancing, where the girls ask the customers for dances and they pay for lap dances or private dancing. But here in BC, it's still paid stage shows. For how much longer, who knows? Like, as a paid stage dancer, you're very accountable. You have to be on time. There's lots of fines for infractions, such as being late, or if you dance to a short set that's not the 18 minutes required, you can be fined, or other things. So as a VIP dancer, you wouldn't be as... Because you're not being paid, you're not as accountable in certain respects. So in some ways it would be better for dancers, especially for dancers with kids that need a more flexible schedule. We had a lot of friction when we did the last event for Pace, and a lot of dancers were really upset about it, to tell you the truth. Because a lot of dancers have fought really hard not to be thought of as prostitutes. I personally don't feel that way. I think it's so important for women to stand together. It's so easy to split hairs, and that's how we become exploited, because we become marginalized and marginalize each other. I believe that women should have solidarity, that we should support our sisters.
My name is Trina Ricketts. My stage name is Annie Temple, and I took women's studies at Simon Fraser University, and I did all my papers and that kind of thing based on feminist theory from an exotic dancer perspective. What was really difficult was that I was learning feminist theory, and feminist theory is really anti-pornography, sex industry, and it wasn't my experience. So from my experience, I thought that's not quite right. So I decided to do my studies in the opposite direction and try to prove that as an exotic dancer, I felt more empowered. And I took a two-year PR diploma at Kwantlen, and I needed to do volunteer work. So I looked for an organization that I could volunteer for, that I was comfortable with, and I found this organization called Pace Society, and it was sex workers, a sex worker driven organization. So it was sex workers advocating for sex workers, which I really identified with because I was an exotic dancer advocating for exotic dancers, and it was the same kind of industry, the sex industry. And so in that identification, I approached Pace Society and asked them if I could volunteer for them in a PR capacity, and that's how I came to become involved with them. One of the things I'm most proud of becoming an employee of Pace is Pace's mandate and how Pace looks at sex workers. Pace doesn't look at sex workers as vulnerable souls in need of saving. Pace looks at sex workers as resources to address the social inadequacies that we have in our society. And I'm talking about survival sex workers. I'm not talking about your high-end escort or, you know, regular sex workers who choose it for the money. I'm talking about women who choose it out of a lack of options. And so what Pace tries to say and tries to put across is these women are not choosing sex work necessarily because they want to choose sex work. They're choosing it because they don't have a lot of options, and that option is open to them. And so the issues that we really need to address as an organization are issues of poverty, homelessness, drug addiction, those kinds of things. And those are the issues that I think our current government is ignoring for the most part, which is really unfortunate. It's actually good that women have the option of the sex industry so that they can make ends meet, so that they can feed their children so that they can put food on the table, pay their rent, buy Christmas presents, or in my case, send my daughter to a birthday party and buy a gift for the child that's, you know, she's going to the birthday party for. In my particular situation, I send my daughter to kindergarten. None of the other moms know that I am an ex-exotic dancer or that I work for a sex worker organization. If they did, perhaps they wouldn't send their children to my house on a regular basis for me to watch them, which is really sad because I think that all women should unite, come together, and as a feminist, I think that the feminist movement is not going to go anywhere unless we start including women who are in the sex industry. Women who are not in the sex industry should support women who are, just purely for the reason that there are many women in the sex industry who are in the sex industry because they feel they have a lack of options. So at Pace Society, we differentiate between women who are sex workers by choice and sex workers who are survival sex workers who decide to be in sex work out of a lack of choice. And so those are the women who we advocate the most for, the women who decide to be in sex work because they feel they don't have a lot of other options. So those women may be subject to other issues such as poverty, homelessness, and mostly financial reasons, obviously. If we try to recognize that there are some women who don't have a lot of options out there and that, you know, feel that they don't have any other resource or any other avenue to gain their financial means to whatever. Say at the lowest denominator, support their drug habit. And say at their regular, you know, welfare mom who's just trying to get by and try to buy Christmas presents for her child, you know. She may resort to sex work, and I'm not saying resort to sex work in the way that sex work is a terrible thing, but resort to sex work in the way that of survival thing. So I want to differentiate that there are women who are in sex work because they choose to be, and there are women in sex work because they don't have a lot of choices and that's what they do. So PACE, for the most part, represents women who don't have a lot of choices and choose sex work out of a lack of options. You need resources. You need them to be available, and you need them to be available now, and they're not.
Now don't forget me, 'cause if you let me, I will always stay by you. You gotta trust me, that's how it must be. There's so much that I can do.
You've been listening to the voices of women involved in the PACE Society's second annual Exotic Goddess Night, a sexpo for women held on November 4th, 2005. For more information about PACE, call 1-866-872-8751 or visit their website at www.pace-society.ca. I'm Christiana Clemens, reporting from Vancouver, British Columbia.